From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. It's Friday, January 21st. Coming up, we've received listener questions about monoclonal antibodies used to treat and prevent infection from the coronavirus. We'll hear from an expert on antibodies in a conversation with Side Effects Public Media, coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Some Illinois sheriffs are struggling as the state's Department of Corrections continues its pause on inmate intakes from county jails due to the latest COVID-19 surge. Before, Ogle County Sheriff Brian Van Vickel says inmates bound for state prisons were held for a week or less in his jail. Now, he says, some have been there for several months.
A little over 12% of my population is sentenced and should be in the Department of Corrections custody, and we continue to provide meals for them, as well as medical services, and it's a cost to our taxpayers.
Van Vickel is also president of the Illinois Sheriff's Association. He says the state provided some money last year through COVID relief funds, but he says it was inadequate. The DOC says in a news release it's pausing inmate intakes to keep jail populations down during the Omicron surge. A Republican is entering the race for the newly drawn 13th Congressional District in Illinois. Attorney Jesse Rising announced his candidacy with a YouTube video yesterday morning. Rising grew up in Decatur before graduating from Yale, then Harvard Law School. He served as a federal prosecutor in Chicago for 3 years before clerking for two federal judges and joining the Chicago law firm Kirkland & Ellis. Rising is the first Republican to enter the 13th District race. Democrats Nikki Budzinski and David Palmer previously announced their candidacies. Republican Roddy Davis represents the current 13th District, but is running for re-election in the redrawn 15th District. He'll face current 15th District Representative Mary Miller in the June Republican primary. The redrawn 13th District stretches from the Metro East through Springfield and Decatur and into Champaign-Urbana. University of Illinois cooks and custodians have been working in Champaign-Urbana throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. They say the university rejected their proposal this week for stricter safety measures. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
Dina Gary is a head cook at the University of Illinois and the president of the Champaign-Urbana chapter of the Service Employees International Union Local 73. She and other union members want managers to intervene when event guests flaunt mask rules or when COVID-positive students eat in the dining halls.
They're also having events where the guests don't have to wear masks, but we're required to wear masks the whole time we're at work. Is something wrong with that picture?
Union members say they report the rule-breaking to supervisors only to see nothing done about it. SEIU is in the middle of contract negotiations with the university. This week, the union learned that the university has rejected most of their COVID safety proposals. U of I spokesperson Robin Kaler says the university does not have a comment on the negotiations, except to confirm that the parties spoke about COVID rules. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
The city of Urbana will be looking for a new police chief. The city announced yesterday that Bryant Serafin will be retiring as head of the police department on March 25th. Serafin has been Urbana's police chief since September 2018 and started with the department as an officer in 1994. In a news release, Urbana Mayor Diane Marlin highlighted several initiatives the department implemented under Serafin's leadership, including the use of body-worn cameras, coordinating with the Urbana School District to install a full-time resource officer, and completing a full revision of the department's use of force policy. That revision came after the department received criticism for how it handled the arrest of Alaya Lewis in 2020. An external investigation concluded that officers had followed the department's previous use of force policy in Lewis's arrest. Marlin says she intends to appoint Deputy Chief Richard Searles as the interim police chief. She says the city will conduct a nationwide search for Serafin's permanent replacement. Still to come, we'll learn more about monoclonal antibodies, which are used to treat and prevent COVID-19. A conversation with Dr. Myron Cohen with the University of North Carolina is coming up next on 217 Today.
Sir Kenneth Branagh stars as a soul-searching Swedish police inspector in Wallander. It's a show about the heavy burden of investigating dark crimes. Kurt Wallander is a man who is at odds with his family, friends, and fellow police, but he seems in his element when he's tracking murderers and psychopaths across seaside towns and the stark farm country of southern Sweden. Watch all 4 seasons of this series and other critically acclaimed mysteries exclusively with WILL Passport. Find out how at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. As the Omicron variant has pushed COVID case counts to new highs in Illinois, we've received questions from listeners like you. Many want to know about monoclonal antibodies, which are used to prevent and treat infection from the coronavirus. To get answers, SideFX Public Media's Jake Harper spoke with Dr. Myron Cohen, a professor of medicine at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
When we're talking about monoclonal antibodies in terms of a treatment, how are these antibodies made and how are they administered?
When people recover from an infection, they, as the host of the infection, have made antibodies to try and get rid of the infection. So if we take people who've recovered from COVID, whatever the variant, we can get their blood and look in their blood to see how well their blood neutralizes the virus. And we know if it neutralizes the virus, the variant we're interested in, we can then look for the B cell that made the best antibody in their blood. So we're looking for people who are making super duper antibodies. And we search many, many thousands of people to find those who make the very best antibodies. We harvest a single cell that made the very best antibody. Then we make sure that cell can replicate in a test tube. Once the cell replicates in a test tube, you've got what's called a clone of cells. You can make any number of those cells, and they're going to make the antibody you want.
Who are these treatments meant for, and how do they get it?
So the most important way to avoid becoming ill is to get two doses of an mRNA vaccine followed by a third dose a few months later. That gives you your own antibodies. But not everybody's vaccinated. And some people who are vaccinated don't respond to the vaccines properly, especially those receiving cancer therapies or immune therapies. And we know for sure that the thing that works against you in this kind of lottery of doing bad is age and other comorbidities, heart disease, lung disease, kidney disease. And so for people in whom we suspect progression of disease, which means you might get sick enough to be hospitalized, we would want to prevent progression of disease.
Just to be clear, is this something that you're administering after someone has been infected, or is the idea to give monoclonal antibodies before someone gets infected with the virus?
You can do either thing. For people who either have not been vaccinated or cannot respond to a vaccine, who we think have been exposed or will be exposed, we can do pre- or post-exposure prophylaxis. That's also called passive immunity. It's a very old idea. And we have several combinations that have been made for treatment. But as Omicron has surfaced, it's limited the number that are appropriate. And right now, the most appropriate is a drug called sotrovimab. It's in short supply, so it's somewhat rationed. For prevention, we have Evusheld. So sotrovimab is approved for treatment. Evusheld is approved for prevention. They're out there, but they're in short supply.
As treatments like this have come out, some people may have this thought of, well, there's treatment now. I'll just rely on that instead of getting a vaccine.
Let there be no mistake about this. An ounce of prevention is worth 100 pounds of cure. And even if we get super duper treatments, they're only 80% effective. We don't know whether they're going to have any effect on long COVID, that is persistent cough and headache and symptoms that might last for months. And they have to be given very quickly. You have to go out and get a test in order to qualify. And even if they're in copious supply and you can just get a prescription, you still need to go to the drugstore and get the prescription and so on and so forth. So what you want to do is not get the infection. And the way to not get the infection is pretty straightforward. Number one, behavioral changes. Try and avoid situations where you're indoors crowded with people and not wearing a mask. Number two, get vaccinated. It doesn't necessarily mean you won't get a breakthrough infection. And this is something people don't understand. These vaccines were never really designed to completely prevent infection. They were designed to prevent you from progression of disease that would lead to hospitalization and ICU stay. So vaccination and masks are essential tools to be used before you even think about the new treatments.
That's Dr. Myron Cohen of UNC Chapel Hill speaking with SideFX Public Media's Jake Harper. If you have a question, send it in. Text HEALTH to 73224 to join SideFX Public Media's text group, The Midwest Checkup. Again, that's HEALTH to 73224. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see sunny skies today with a high of 25 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Emily Hayes, and Jake Harper. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.